Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
How you doing? Welcome in on a Sunday morning as we get ready for more fantasy baseball in the NFL draft here on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Good morning. I am Scott Engel, the managing director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy. Join every week for this 3-hour block, whether you're listening live or on demand, with my partner, George Blue Line Kurtz. George, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, Scott. Recovered from my little bout with intestinal dysfunctions over the past couple of days. So doing much better. Thank you.
Good. I know you weren't feeling well the other day when I spoke to you. I'm glad you're feeling better. I thought maybe you were worn out from the excitement of the hockey playoffs.
Yeah, maybe that was it. You know, a little gut churning. But let me tell you also why I'm doing well, Scott. Watching baseball last night. You know, I'm home watching the games, watching the no-hitter. Seth Manaea of Oakland A's, which is, I'd be the most weird, I guess the strangest thing, shutting out no-hitting Boston, who can't seem to lose this year. And my home league, Scott, home baseball league, it's a points league, and it's customized, so no-hitters are big. You know, that's a lot of points there. And I go to check, I don't have Manaea, but I go to check who does. It's my brother. I love my brother. But now I'm rooting high against the no-hitter. I don't want the no-hitter. You know, and then I look at my brother's roster. He didn't start Manaea this week. You know, he didn't start him, Scott. No points for Manaea's no-hitter. No big week. And you know, listen, I feel bad for him, so I text him afterwards. Oh, that must have hurt. You know, Scott, he replied with a two-letter phrase.
It's interesting. Well, he didn't start Seth Manaea, as you said, but I guess he didn't start Sean Manaea either.
I don't think I said any Manaea, by the way, as far as the first name. But
Seth. I caught that, and I was waiting for you to finish.
I don't think I started Seth.
I was going to bust
Seth.
Your chops out of that.
I think you're wrong.
Pete Considori, you there this morning?
Good morning, Scott and George. Yeah. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Did not say Seth Manaea? Did I mishear that?
You know what, Scott? I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've been running around this morning. I have so many things going on. I'm going to be honest. I didn't know we had a show this morning. I just showed up and I turned on the board and here we are.
Okay, and here we are talking about Seth Manaea this morning. Very good. But, yeah, very interesting, George, in terms of, you know, the Red Sox have won 8 in a row. And, you know, Manaea, a guy I spoke to last year at Citi Field, and you know, very, very thinking man's young pitcher. You know, when I was speaking to him, knew what really his strengths and weaknesses are and where he had to improve.
I mean, listen, as much as I like to get on my brother's case there, I don't blame anybody for not starting him yesterday. That was the Red Sox who were scoring, what, 18 runs a game, it seemed like, at will. So it certainly was probably the right move. I didn't check his staff or anybody else's staff to make sure it was the right move. But, you know, I guess if you're in that same situation in a points, they didn't get the points of a no-hitter. Well, you know, sometimes the right we don't get the right results on the right decision.
Let me ask you a question now. It seems like we've been waiting for Manaea to break out for about the past 2-plus years or so, and here's the clear signal, although we've seen lesser pitchers come away with no hitters. Do you sell on Manaea right now based on the fact that his value may be never higher at any point this season? Because how much better is it going to get than no-hitting the Red Sox?
It can't get any better, right? He's not getting a no-hitter in his next start. That hasn't happened in forever. I think you try. You know, I don't know if it's going to work. I guess it depends on the status of your league and how much people pay attention. Manaea is a nice guy. nice pitcher. I don't see him being a fantasy stud, or also he's turning it around, going to be a the guy who wins you a league here. If you could sell him, actually, if I could sell him probably for maybe 90 cents on a dollar, I'd do it. Anything more, I'd be thrilled here. So, yes, I would try and sell, but I don't know how much that's going to work.
Yeah, so far this year, 123 ERA with a 350 FIP and a 358 XFIP. He has not allowed a single inherited runner to score, and he has a BABIP of 135.
In the early goings, Scott, we're only a couple of weeks in here. Are you finding it easier, more difficult, or the same as far as trading in your leagues?
I haven't made any trades.
You haven't made any.
I was approached in Tout Wars by somebody who wanted to buy D. Gordon off of me by giving me Justin Bour and somebody else, and I said,
"Gee, that was nice."
If I was willing to trade D. Gordon, it was probably not going to be for one of those guys.
That's also why it's hard to trade. I think that's all the problem. Nobody makes a fair. I understand you don't want to make your best offer right off the bat, but at least make something competitive, something we can work with. Another big problem is that everyone's afraid of shows like this where we're going, oh, that was a terrible trade. You just got killed, and everyone's afraid to make a deal here. In all the leagues I play in, Scott, I don't think one deal has been made other than my Dynasty League. You know, and those deals have been made because guys were already selling out. It's amazing how quick they do that in Dynasty Leagues and looking for draft picks and top prospects for next season. But in all the redraft leagues, I don't believe one deal has been made yet.
Yeah, I tell people to call us before you make the trade.
That would be the right
idea. Make
the
trade because we don't want to have to blast you. But maybe Sean Manaea breeds Roto experts, because on Saturday morning, this was written by Cam Giagrandi, and the column is still up on rotoexperts.com. He wrote sell him and get him trade column. On rotoexperts.com. And one of his top sell guys was Sean Manaea. He said, last season he pitched 158 and two-thirds innings. This season he's on pace to pitch 235. There may be enough of a sample size to pawn him off onto some unsuspecting neophyte. Three of his four starts have been quality. He boasts a 163 ERA. Long ago with a 0.72 whip. Pitches with good ratios are like goals, although he doesn't strike out enough batters for my liking. Less than 7 per 9 innings. Those ratios should be enough for a team who needs pitching to take notice. It's clear Oakland is looking for Manaea to take the next step in his development, but he just had given the peripherals that I just read you and what they even were at yesterday's point. He was saying that Manaea is one of the guys you have to sell on, and Manaea actually had a 169 BABIP coming into yesterday.
I would agree. I mean, it's easier said than done. We can all say sell, sell, sell. You still got to find a buyer. And it's tough to find a trade for, normal trades. More or less trying to sell high on someone because he got a no-hitter against the Red Sox, all the publicity that comes with that. It's more of a good luck thing. Hope it works out for you. But I think you're going to have to be willing to probably take less than what you want. How badly do you want to get rid of him? I guess I think in my mind, Scott, the bigger question is he a get rid of no matter what? Maybe you got to settle for, I said 90 cents on a dollar. You might settle for 75 cents. Is that enough for him? Are you getting a position of need? If you need speed, are you getting speed? Something like that of a player you could use here. Because I don't think you're going to get what you might think he is worth because of the no-hitter. I don't think that's quite going to hit.
Lots more baseball to talk this morning. We'll have Roto Experts at the Park, the Washington Nationals edition, in the one interview per hour for you guys. We'll have Gio Gonzalez in the next segment, Sean Doolittle, the closer, in the second hour, and to finish it up, saving the best for last, Trey Turner in the third hour. So we got that to look forward to, George.
Trey Turner, exciting player. Absolutely. I don't have him in any leagues. Some people are taking him top three, top four or five overall. I couldn't quite pull the trigger there. So, it's funny, Scott. I don't think I've ever had Trey Turner.
Yeah, I have him in one league, and I actually told Trey that he was going top three in some leagues. He was a little stunned. He is the guy that plays fantasy football himself, but he's like, well, I don't know if I deserve to be in the same league with those guys. I guess he was being humble.
Oh, that is being honest. It's always good to hear that. But I would agree with him. Like I said, I didn't think he was top three yet. The first round, sure. Stolen bases, I get it. Some power added there as well. But I did not think that he should be top three right after Trout and right after Altuve. No, I can't quite pull that trigger.
No. Let's talk about the other big story that as we begin the week, the Yankees are calling up prospect Gleyber Torres from Scranton's Wilkes-Barre to possibly play a lot of second base, some short, some third. And, you know, this is a guy that when you look at his minor league track record, look at 2016, his last full season in the minors, 125 games, hit .270 with 11 homers and 21 steals last year in 55 games, .287 with 7 home runs and 7 RBIs. He's not going to be jump out at you in any one category, but that's fine because in fantasy baseball, what you're looking for is the combination of the power and the speed, and he'll give the Yankees that, fantasy players that. He'll also improve the defense. The Yankees have been leading the American League in errors. They had 18 coming into yesterday, so he's certainly going to help in that regard. It was just a service time thing before he came up, and here Gleyber Torres is. A lot of people were stashing him. I can't imagine he's a free agent in a lot of leagues, but you'll have to get him into your lineup as a middle infielder just about right away.
Yeah, he should hit. Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. You know, he's not going to crush in any one category. He's not going to 25 home runs the rest of the year. He's not going to steal 20 bases. Average could be solid, but he'll have some ups and downs. You'll see that as most rookies do. I do expect him to play second base. I expect the corresponding move to be Tyler Wade gets sent down, and Torres gets more of the super utility guy again, moved all around, not starting each and every day. I think you're seeing the Yankees. Hitting hasn't been a whole problem, but they're trying to mask their pitchings. They have major starting pitching issues right now. As really the only reliable starter is Severino. Tanaka got lit up by the Marlins after getting lit up by the Red Sox. You can understand the Red Sox getting lit up by the Marlins. You cannot. Sabathia's proven once again he's pretty much a five-and-fly guy. And then Montgomery, once again, maybe 6 innings. You're ready for a quality start out of him. And Sonny Gray is all messed up.
Yeah, Sonny Gray coming off another bad start as well. Giancarlo Stanton starting to hit in the Bronx. On the other side of New York, the big story is Matt Harvey going to the bullpen for the first time in his career as a New York Met. Harvey, he of the 4.72 ERA so far this year, 6.37 last year when he had a 1.69 whip. He had a 1.42 whip this year. Harvey has not been the same pitcher since the Mets World Series run in 2015. Injuries have been a part of that. We've seen his velocity eventually go from averaging out at over 96 to 92. He's lost about 4 miles an hour on his fastball over the last few years. But Harvey was not very accepting of the move, said he was pissed off. And you know, this is the issue with Matt Harvey. If you read my Fantasy Baseball Insider series on rotoexperts.com in the preseason, you saw that part of Harvey's issue was not only that he lost velocity, but it's also mental. It seems like he refuses to accept that he can no longer be that guy that he was in 2013 and 2015. Just a few days ago, he was saying that he can still thinks he can be a dominant guy. But somebody I spoke to close to the Mets in the preseason says if Matt can get rid of that mental approach where he thinks that he can still be the Dark Knight, that he's going in the right direction. He has to believe, he has to realize that he can no longer blow people away as a top-tier starter when he focuses on just getting outs to outs, like going from out to out instead of trying to blow everybody away. He no longer has a wipeout slider, etc. Then that'll be its good step mentally in the right direction, but Harvey doesn't seem to believe that he's still not a superstar anymore. Like he's in disbelief of it. So mentally, what he sees about himself and what he has as an arsenal just don't match up.
You know, Scott, in my mind, we see this with a lot of pitchers, but it's generally when they get older in their careers. Now, Harvey's lost it because of injuries. You know, that's why he's lost that velocity. And then now he has to make that change from a thrower to being a pitcher. Which means he's got to hit his spots, got to move the ball in, out, up, down, keep hitters off balance. You know, and he right now, you can hear from just the way he's talking, I completely agree with the scout that he still believes he can, you know, I'm going to throw the ball, here it is, hit it. problem is they will hit it now. They couldn't hit it 3 years ago. Now they can. So I think for Harvey, and I'll quit to CeCe Sabathia, same thing. When Sabathia lost his fastball, it took him a couple of seasons to become a pitcher again because he was doing the same thing, throwing high fastballs that were getting crushed. But now he's learned the thing. Listen, you can throw the ball 89, 88 miles an hour if you hit your spots, keep the hitters off balance. Harvey has to make that adjustment. But the problem is, I don't know when that'll be. He does still think he's the Dark Knight. He does still have that bravado, which is great. But, you know, it's not going to work right now. I don't know how much better he gets in the bullpen, though. And I wonder if the Mets, I understand he had three lousy starts in a row, but they weren't horrific starts. 6-4-4. We've seen up a lot of starters in April. I would have liked to have seen them maybe give him a couple more starts to see if he could have worked it out. But then again, the Mets are seeing probably more than we are. Maybe it's the attitude that's also playing a part in this.
Yeah, the first start was solid against Philly, but the rest of them have just been mediocre. And the last start against Atlanta, his changeup was really flattened over the plate. And, you know, they were just absolutely killing it, him trying to use the changeup. And, you know, he hasn't been anything better than mediocre. It makes sense that he's got to move to the bullpen because Jason Vargas is coming back to pitch Saturday against San Diego, and they have to make room for somebody, and Zach Wheeler has pitched better than he has. Harvey was saying, oh, I thought I pitched good the last three innings. You know, pitching coach Dave Island says, well, the game doesn't start in the fourth inning. The game starts in the first. You know, he's getting beat too much by the long ball, etc. It doesn't have the wipeout slider anymore. His changeup is getting pounded. So you got to send him to the bullpen. I think it's the right decision to make, whether he agrees with it or whether he doesn't. And fantasy-wise, though, I wouldn't quite cut him just yet. Keep him on your bench if you can, because you never know what he's going to come back out of the pen looking like. Maybe there's still some minor shreds of hope. Hold on to Harvey if you can. Coming up next, we'll talk to Gio Gonzalez of the Washington Nationals. It's Roto Experts at the Park coming up here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on the Roto Experts, Scott Engel and George Kurtz. And of course, as we always do, we bring you my exclusive interviews with Major League Baseball players, as we've been doing on the Roto Experts since 2010. And this week, the Washington Nationals edition, and talking to one of their top starters. Of course, everybody hails Scherzer and Strasburg, but Gio Gonzalez is coming off of his best season of maybe his entire career, and he's off to a good start again. So here is my exclusive interview, Roto Experts at the Park, with Gio Gonzalez. Scott Engel here with Gio Gonzalez of the Nationals. Gio, you're coming off maybe the best year in your career. Last year, you led the majors with a 175 batting average against with runners in scoring position. Well, you know, what was the reason for that? Did you just, like, bear down mentally with runners on base? That's a terrific stat.
Well, definitely defense was 100% involved in that, and our catching department was incredible. They did their homework every game, and it was just fun and easy for me to go out there and just try to hit my spot. I mean, that was the most important. But, you know, I had a lot of help with some veteran guys and guys that gave me time and spoke to me and kind of, like, you know, walked me through some situations. You know, I had some great starting pitchers that helped me also boost a little bit of confidence on the mound. So it helps out when you have guys like Max and Strauss and Tanner and like EJ and guys that were filling in for the fifth role. But it was nice to see these guys just constantly just trying to find a way to get an out. And that helps out a lot, especially being around guys that are positive all the time.
Well, you've been around a while for yourself. It's, you know, and your velocity is down a little bit from what it was early in your career, but it seems like a lot of smart veteran pitchers, you're trying to remake yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, we all wish we could have that 95 in the tank. I mean, at this point, it's just any way to get an out. You know, you don't have to throw 100 anymore. You just got to try to hit your spots and try to get an out. And, you know, obviously 100 works, it helps. But definitely now I just trying to make sure I can last a little longer in innings and try to get quick outs and, you know, try not to work the count as much, just trying to get it in, get out. And, you know, we have stuff like that I'm constantly working on, especially with our pitching coach now and Maddie. I was asking Maddie a little bit about yesterday and what he saw. He just thinks there's certain, like a minor click off of what I should be doing and what I should be working on. So that's always a positive when you can go back and just like that, just talking to Maddie or Severino and they give you an answer right away, which that's awesome.
And it seems like over the last 2 years you started going to the curve and the change more than you did previously.
Yeah, I mean, I feel comfortable throwing all three pitches in every count. So that's definitely a credit to one of our starters, Max, who loves to do the same thing. You know, he'll throw it at any count. Same thing with Strauss. He's definitely confident with all three of his pitches, and the same thing goes for Tanner. These are guys, that's why I say it helps to watch these guys, because every pitch is a confidence booster for them, and I love watching them pitch, and it helps out. My mechanics helps out and what I need to see, and then, you know, what they did in the game before, it's also watching through your homework. So that makes it a lot easier when you get to see these guys go out there and certain counts and certain pitches they threw to certain hitters. What were they looking for? And then ask them questions after the game, you know, what happened and what's not. So, but again, that helps out too when your catchers are constantly doing their homework, watching video and learning what they need to learn to help you get to the next level.
Also, your strikeout rate is up early this year and your swinging strikeout rate is up early this year.
That I do not know. I do not have the answer for that. I mean, I'm not trying to strike out anybody. I'm literally just trying to make people put the ball in play and make contact and get me out of the inning a little faster. But, you know, every now and then it'd be nice to get a big strikeout. But again, a lot of my help is coming out of our bullpen. You know, our bullpen's been incredible and they've been saving me in a lot of games. So I give all the credit in the world to them. You know, they're literally helping me out and just riding with me as much as they can.
And what about, you know, when people say to you, hey, Gio, I drafted you on my fantasy baseball team. You know, do you take that as a compliment?
I try my best for you, Scotty, that's for sure. I do my best if I can. It's definitely it's a compliment coming from you. But at the end of the day, I do my best.
So Gio Gonzalez coming off a season in which he was 15-9 with a 2.96 ERA. A lot of fantasy experts looking at the peripherals, such as the strand rate, 81.6%, and the BABIP, 258, below his career average of 294. The FIP was 393. The XFIP was 424. So they were looking at regression. He's off to a good start this year, as well as 1038 strikeout rate, 249 ERA, 269 FIP, 349 XFIP, still a high strand rate, higher than last year, 82.3%. Gio credits a lot of, even though he's 32 years old, you heard from that, watching guys like Strasburg and Scherzer trying to learn from them, Tanner Roark and Edwin Jackson last year giving him tips, pitching coach Mike Maddox, the catchers, Pedro Severino and Matt Wieters. It seems like, you know, Gio is constantly studying ways to make himself get better, but it doesn't seem like from the advanced numbers that fantasy owners and analysts are buying in that this is going to continue.
And I do kind of get that. I mean, you mentioned all the peripheral stats. Well, just look at the fantasy stats. I mean, the whip is always a problem, right? I mean, even last year, very great year. He was still a 1.18. That's been by far the best of his career, you know, at least best with Washington. Other than that, you know, it was 1.34, 1.42. This year it's at 1.5. So that's always been the bugaboo. He puts a lot of guys on base, manages to get out of it. Does he strike out enough to overcome that? Not really. We've seen better strikeout numbers from pitchers. It's weird, Scott. He doesn't get the love. Even I, when it comes to draft time, I'm always afraid to pull that that lever too to hit him. You know, to go select. I don't know why, because you know he's going to win some games playing for Washington. But maybe it's because the upside is limited, just not there. Or maybe it's because we're afraid that he's going to have, if you're in a head-to-head league, he's going to have that blow-up start where he puts nine guys on base in four innings. That sort of thing. But overall, his numbers tell you we probably shouldn't be as worried about him.
And then it was talking about the pitch selection. In 2016, he threw the fastball 64.4% of the time. And the curveball under 20%, the changeup under 16%. Last year, the fastball usage dipped to 56.6%. The curveball usage went up to 24.7%. And the changeup usage up to 18.6%. And the fastball usage is down even more this year. 51%, that's 13% from 2 years ago. The curveball percentage is up to 25%, which is almost 6% from 2 years ago, and the changeup 23.1% up from 18 last year and 15.7% from 2 years ago. So we're just talking about Matt Harvey. Gio Gonzalez is 32 years old. He's making himself into a different kind of pitcher here. So as opposing hitters get used to this, you know, he might still have another good stretch in him.
He's become a pitcher. He's no longer throws a mid-90s fastball. You know, his average fastball at U-State is, you know, tick over 89, 90 miles an hour. So he's got to become a pitcher, and he's done that. You know, left-handers, too, they can pitch forever generally. What's the old, saying that you probably hate is, hey, you know, if you're going to be born a left-handed pitcher, you can pitch forever. So he's made that adjustment there. Pitches in the National League, so weaker lineups. Pitches in Washington, good pitchers ballpark. So good for him as far as that. He's a player, listen. Fantasy-wise, I think he's fine. I mentioned I don't own him in any place. I don't know why, because I don't mind the pitcher, but the upside does seem to be limited. But once again, I think it's a good story for him that he's made that adjustment to become a pitcher. So many guys cannot do it.
I have to admit, you know, being on the beat since 2008 to 2010 interviewing players, I found Gio to be one of the nicest guys truly in all of baseball. And the fun thing about Gio talking to him, too, is he is a huge Marvel Comics fan. He said he cannot wait for Deadpool 2 and Avengers Infinity War to come out. And that he's already making plans for when they're on the road to go with his teammates to make sure he sees those new movies.
I like Deadpool, the original. I mean, when it comes to Marvel and DC, those are different ones, or are they the same?
They're different, yeah.
They're different. Okay.
Wonder Woman's DC. Justice League is DC.
Well, yeah, she's in Justice League. I would have figured out. I'd have gotten that one. I need someone to send me a list of what order I need to watch all these movies in. Because I've seen some of them smattering here and there. But, you know, if you missed one, it's tough to find the other. You know, I don't know. And so many come out. I mean, God. I mean, can they have an original idea other than another... Another remake, another part 10 of a movie, or all these superhero movies. They get old after a bit.
I would say the first Captain America is one of my favorites. I don't know if you've seen that.
I think I don't know if it was the first one.
Captain America, the first Avenger, it was called.
I think I saw it, but because I've seen a few of them, but I'm not 100% positive. I like
Tobey Maguire's Spider-Mans are some of my favorites.
Yeah, they were okay. I've seen a couple.
I think
of
all
them.
The Thor movies are pretty good. The last one was darn good.
I've only seen I think one Thor, and that was the one where with the Incredible Hulk.
That was the good one. Yeah, Ragnarok. Yeah, that was a good one.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, Black Panther. I saw a few weeks ago. Very good.
That was good. Yeah, I saw that too. That was, as a matter of fact, the last movie I saw, that was a good solid flick.
Yeah, but Avengers Infinity War is coming out this week. I saw Captain America Civil War. That was probably like the first Marvel movie that I really sat down and watched since the original Spider-Man. You know, all these movies are hooked together, and that's probably the first one I watched of all the ones that are hooked together. And I saw it in the theater. It's cold, and I really liked it. The Guardians of the Galaxy is very good too.
I haven't seen that. I do want to see Justice League.
I walked into that cold. I walked into Guardians of the Galaxy cold and really enjoyed it. the season finale of The Walking Dead, I was a little bit disappointed.
Okay, why? I've talked to a lot of people about this. What? Why?
All right.
Because so was I, by the way.
On demand, those listening live, turn down your radios. Right
oh, it's
now.
Been a week.
Yeah. But no, there's still a lot of people I've found that have not seen the season finale yet. They're
if you waited a week to watch a show like this, then, you know, I don't know how you don't find out the spoilers. But go ahead. I want to know what
people have different schedules than us, George.
It's a week, not feeling bad for you.
No, I talk to other people who like they're maybe a season behind, a half season behind because of their personal schedules. You know, not everybody does appointment television like you and me. So turn your radio down. Or you know, come back to us in about a minute because you know going to be spoiler alert. My wife just walked in another room because she doesn't want to hear the spoiler either. She's several seasons behind, but the way it's just like it almost became cornballish, if you want, with Rick's speech and them leaving Negan alive the way that he did. It's just was kind of anticlimactic to me.
I thought Negan had to die as well. I know in the comics he's still alive, so I guess they're following that. But how often are you going to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan again? I mean, it's a very popular actor. He's going to have other jobs. He's not going to be a full-time here. I don't see him staying with the show. So he may be alive but dead anyway. What are you going to see, a different actor showing him from the side or from the behind where it's not really him? So I thought that was silly. And I hated the end where now
why wouldn't he stay with the show?
He won't be a full-timer. They're not going to pay him. I mean, he gets to get paid in real life. This is the way you can afford that. You know, that's why they kill characters.
How do
we know what?
That they can't afford to pay him.
Why would he? I'm sure he wouldn't mind, but why would he want to stay if he's not going to be a major part of the show anymore? He's got his own life to worry about. He'll go to another show.
We don't know that he's not going to be a major part of the show anymore. They probably have written it in the next season.
The next thing now is the Whisperers. You know, that's supposed to be – I mean, once again, they don't follow the comics 100%, but that is the next thing that bothers them. Whether it's next season or the season after that, but that should be the next thing. I don't expect Jeffrey Dean Morgan to be a major part of it. You know, also, the bigger problem for Walking Dead, and I think this happened really after the final. I didn't like the final at the end where all of a sudden Maggie, Jesus, and Daryl are pissed off at Rick and Michonne. You know, and now it's going to be what infighting, revolution, whatever. I don't like
probably,
that.
Probably, you know what they'll just do is they'll probably kill Negan on their own and then they'll move on.
Well, the bigger problem, once again, this is more of a real life problem, is that Maggie, the actress who plays Maggie, who I don't know offhand, she's did a pilot for CBS. If that pilot gets picked up, she's going to be done with the show. And how they're going to write her out, or, you know, once again, she'll be a bit part. It'd be interesting to see what happens. We've seen that with other characters as well. They've get written out because, once again, they get a show from a network. They're moving on to, a more of a leading role here, and they'll certainly get paid more. So that could be a problem for Walking Dead next season as well. If that show gets picked up, the pilot, I think she's playing some CIA thing. And I think we'll probably know when CBS announces their schedule next month.
All right, so we keep you updated on everything, and you can turn your radios back up as we won't talk about The Walking Dead anymore. Although, you know, to a lot of people, I think the best seasons are behind us. I think they dragged out the Rick and Negan thing too long. Nope. The only other shows I watch right now are, now that The Walking Dead is off the air, I'll continue to watch Impractical Jokers, The Big Bang Theory, but I don't have anything serious on my list to watch right now. When Ballers comes back, I'll definitely get HBO back because I like that show.
What about Game of Thrones?
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, Game of Thrones is a good show. It's a show you can't do anything else during. You know, I usually watch TV, Scott, while I'm writing. You know, writing a column. The problem is with Game of Thrones, you can't write. You can't breathe because everything – there's like six different storylines going on. You need to take cliff notes.
Right.
So it's hard. You have to pay attention to that show. That's why one of the reasons why it's hard for me always to watch because – generally, I am doing something else, but Game of Thrones would be a bad show when it's done. Go buy a DVD set.
My wife and my son watch it religiously. It just strikes me as something I can't get into.
You don't like that genre, like Lord of the Rings stuff like that. Okay,
yeah,
then I get
no,
it.
Not,
if you don't like
I'm
it, you
not
don't like
Lord
it.
Lord of the Rings at all whatsoever.
I kind of like that. I mean, I wouldn't say I love it, but I do kind of like that stuff. But if you don't, you don't. I get it. Not everybody does. But I thought that's a very good show. But other than that, I mean, there's not much good TV on nowadays. I don't mind Suits.
Sounds like you're watching a lot of TV, though. Nobody watches TV as much as Chris Bavona, though, our weekday producer. If I want to find out a show is good or not, I'll go to Chris Bavona.
He's our resident TV expert, our resident TV guy.
He watches just about everything that's on television.
All right.
He can quote any TV show or any movie. Going back for years, too.
What does that make him, a videophile or something like that? What's the word for that?
Dork. Dork, I guess.
I haven't worked with Chris in a long time. I miss Chris Bavona.
Chris got engaged.
I know. I saw. Yes. Well, I guess then. Sorry, Chris. Yeah. My sympathies.
All right. Coming up next, we'll hit the fantasy baseball waiver wire. We'll have some deep pickups for you to consider. That's next here on the Roto Experts, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back here on the Roto Experts, dominate DraftKings and FanDuel Major League Baseball contests this summer with Daily Roto's MLB projections and optimizer. Go to dailyroto.com/premium and save 10% with the promo code FNTSY to use all the same tools and projections that have produced 4 millionaire winners and millions more in total winnings than that. So head over to dailyroto.com/premium, save 10% with the promo code FNTSY and see the results for yourself. And you got to make sure you check that out. And, of course, you want the lineup alerts in your inbox. They're essential, and also great daily fantasy golf coverage and daily fantasy NASCAR coverage. Everything that you need over there. Kyle Busch winning his third race in a row yesterday at Richmond. So here's something interesting. And you go over to sportsgrid.com and you check out George Kurtz's column on nine reasons why Derek Jeter is doing right by the Marlins. And Real Sports on HBO, Tuesday, April 24th, this Tuesday, at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Brian Gummel going one-on-one with Derek Jeter. That should be an interesting watch, George.
It should be. I mean, I wonder, you know, Jeter's been successful most things in his career, right? Had a great career with the Yankees, won five all the World Series, Hall of Famer. I do wonder how he handles the losing here, Scott, because it's going to be a few years, even if he's right, you know, and this works out, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the line. You know, how does he handle it up until that point? You know, I do think he's doing the right thing. You know, because we've seen it before, Houston Astros, Chicago Cubs. You know, you sell off everything because you can't win with those players anyway, and then you build it back up, but you got to eat it for a few years. And you maybe for the Marlins, it's even longer than normal because – you know, so far the deals they've made, they haven't gotten a lot back in return. They're more saving money right now. They're getting top prospects back. So you do wonder. I'm curious about that more than anything. You know, and I bring it up to the interview with Gumbel, because I know there's at one point there, from what I've heard, got a little testy. But I wonder if he gets more and more testy as the losing adds up over the days, weeks, months, and years, how that turns out.
Yeah, so make sure you check that out on Real Sports on HBO, 10 p.m. Eastern, the premiere this Tuesday.
So I'll definitely be tuning into that. Let's talk about some potential waiver pickups. And for that, you can go to our fantasy baseball, our new weekly planner with Brandon C. Williams right now on rotoexperts.com. That is posted, ready to go. But wanted to know what you thought about some of these other potential pickups that dig even a little bit deeper. We know that Taiwan Walker has actually gone on, is out for the season because of a torn UCL. He's got to have the Tommy John surgery. So Matt Koch came in, and you know, this guy is putting up pretty good big league numbers, although he got hammered at AAA last year. But his first start this year was actually a good one yesterday, as he made his season debut. And so far, so good. 8 innings pitched this year, 7 strikeouts, 1.13 ERA, and a 0.50 whip. And he gets a turn against the Dodgers this week, and he'll stay in the rotation at least temporarily. What are your feelings on picking up Matt Koch, who is owned in only 2% of CBSSports.com leagues?
And maybe in deeper leagues, you know, sure, we can talk about NL-only leagues, 16-team leagues, 10, 12-team leagues, no, I'll pass. I'm not worried about him being taken out of the rotation. I think it'll happen eventually, sure. Maybe he'll have somebody else in the minds. Maybe Shelby Miller, when he comes back from his own Tommy John surgery, probably during the summer, he takes that job. But great. He had a good start against San Diego. A San Diego team, no Will Myers, several other injuries, problems as well. No, like I said, could he be a matchup guy for me, Scott, here and there? Okay. But pitching in Arizona, the humidor is not, I don't, in my mind, it's not having the effect that a lot of people are worried about there. I'm not going to be able to pull that trigger. I'd have to be pretty, I don't want, desperate maybe too strong a word, but pretty far down my list to have to set up a Koch.
Yeah, Koch yesterday against San Diego in a 4-1 Diamondbacks victory, 6 innings pitch, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. So a good debut, but this may have to be in a deeper league like George indicates. Jacoby Jones is only 3% owned in CBSSports.com leagues. Jones, we saw him flash a little bit last year before eventually ending up back in the minors. But this guy does have some power speed potential and has put together a nice string of multi-hit games. And he's hitting .297 with 2 home runs and 4 RBIs, a .372 on-base percentage, and a .541 slugging percentage. Looks like he's going to continue to earn some playing time there in left field for the Tigers. Jones, you know, young guy that does have the power-speed combination and is maybe earning more at-bats here. Like I said, you know, top of the depth chart right now, 24 years old. What do you think of picking up Jacoby Jones if he needs some outfield help? And guys who give a little bit of pop and a little bit of speed are always useful in fantasy baseball.
They are, and what we like about that. I think if he played a full season, if you were to tell me he's going to play 150-plus games, 15-15 would be within reach, maybe even more on the speed side there. My problem is going to be, is this just a hot streak that's keeping him in the lineup? What about one of these doesn't hit for a while? He was in a slump before this, and now he's on that 5-game streak where I think he's got 8 hits. So he's playing well now, but I wonder how long this can last. Will the Tigers be patient and keep him in the line game in, game out? And I don't think they will, so that's my issue here. I think it's kind of the guy you start while he's hot. He's hot. You want to pick him up tonight. You need an outfielder this week. Maybe the rest of the month, I'm game. But I think once again, you know, 2 weeks, you'll be looking for somebody else.
See, you're saying there's a chance he may not stay in the Tigers lineup?
I don't think they're going to allow him to break himself out of slumps. Yeah, I think once he starts, when he's not hitting, which will happen again, because I don't think he's all of a sudden established himself as a bona fide major leaguer, I wonder what happens then. Does it become that guy, okay, we're not going to play him today. We're not going to play him 2 days in a row because this other guy now starts to hit. Now he deserves. You know, he's not going to play against the tougher righties. Because he's right-handed as well. That's my issue with Jones. I don't think he's established himself where he's going to be playing 6 days a week. You know, only get that one day over. I still think he's that 4 to 5 days a week guy when things aren't going well. And that's going to be my issue.
So if things don't go well, you're saying we see more of Nico Goodrum?
I think they'll spread it around. looking for whatever offense they can find. I don't think they're going to be patient enough to wait for anybody. There's a team that knows they're outside of Castellanos and Cabrera. There's really nobody they can rely on here. I don't think they'll be patient with anybody.
We were talking about Matt Harvey before. Jason Vargas is ticketed to come back this Saturday against the San Diego Padres. And, you know, this is a guy that put up pretty good numbers overall last year, especially before the All-Star break. Before the All-Star break, he was 12-3 last year with a 2.44 opposing batting average against and a 260 ERA. Fell to 6-8 at 638 after the break as the peripherals kind of caught up to him. But overall, pretty good year for Jason Vargas. Moves to the National League here. And, you know, this is a guy that Dave Hyland has experience with, different than a lot of the other Mets pitchers in terms of the selection that he throws. If you're looking for something at the end of your staff, Jason Vargas is owned in 32% of CBSSports.com leagues, George.
I don't have much faith here, but the exception of what you mentioned, well, it is the National League. Weaker lineups, good. You know, City Field's a good pitcher's ballpark here. Someone maybe I want to give a shot at if I need a starter here. Doesn't throw very hard. He's that touchy field guy. He needs to hit his spots. You said it in your rundown there. Second half didn't go well. You know, maybe the league was catching up to him or the video. Maybe he wasn't hitting his spots as he got tired. You know, many reasons where the second half could have been a problem for him. But it's what his average fastball was, about 86 last year. So if he doesn't hit his spots, he's going to get crushed. So I don't see what the upside is here. I think that's what I'm going with here, fantasy-wise. I mean, he's not going to strike out a whole bunch of batters. You know, I think he's a 5-6 innings guy. He's not going to you're not going to want him to go through the lineup three times because then he will start to get hit. So I don't know what your upside here is fantasy-wise. What stat are you looking to hit here? You know, some wins? Okay, Mets can hit. Maybe you'll get that. But I think for Scott from Heavey, more of a matchup play, two-start weak guy, that's when I'd plug him in.
Hunter Pence has went on the DL with a thumb injury, and Mack Williamson was called up from AAA, where he was hitting 487 with 6 home runs and 13 RBIs in the first 11 games of the year. Last year, 94 minor league games, he had 244 with 14 homers, 50 RBIs, and 4 stolen bases. This guy's past the point of being a prospect, but the Giants aren't going to give him some ability to play here, and he's only 4% owned in CBSSports.com leagues, George.
He is 27 years old, so he's certainly not a prospect anymore. Didn't work out for him as far as that's concerned. We all know, you know, San Fran, not the greatest hitter's ballpark in the majors. Tough to get that ball out. The dimensions aren't great. Righties for certainly much better than lefties. Heavy, cool air coming in off the bay also doesn't help with the ball travel much. Once again, I look at it, what are you hoping for here? You know, the minor leagues couldn't really hit. You know, he said parts of several seasons now with the Giants. Okay. Batting low 250s, 235, 223, 219. Not really much power. 10 home runs in a smattering of at-bats. Stolen bases, no. He's got one over 4 seasons. So what are you hoping for here? You know, bottom of your roster type guy. You want to claim him just to put him on your reserve list, see what happens here? That doesn't bother me. But by the time you figure it out, Pence will be back anyway. So I'm not a big believer here, no.
Wouldn't it be cool to just have a guy named Mac on your roster, though?
He's that tough guy, right? You know, Mac. You get a problem, you go get Mac. Mac takes care of the problem.
Mac sounds like more like a nickname from the Three Stooges type of days, though.
Well, I'm Irish, Scott. It's pretty much every Irishman ever born.
Really?
So you
can
know,
I call
mix.
You Mac Kurtz?
Actually, it's funny. My last name is Kurtz, which is German, but I'm 3/4 Irish. My mother's full Irish, and her maiden name was Ryan. Unless it was Mick Ryan, you can't get much more Irish than Ryan.
His middle name is Mackenzie. His full name is Jonathan Mackenzie Williamson.
Yeah, so he goes by Mac for the Mick.
Yeah, sometimes
that's what we do, Scott.
It's Mac for Mac. I don't know if it's for it's MAC his middle name, not MC.
You said Mackenzie though, right? It's his way is he's
no,
Mac
the
McKenzie?
Way the way he spells it is different.
He says MAC.
His middle name is spelled MACKENSEY.
Oh, okay. That is different. Yeah, you're right. He may not even be Irish, though.
I don't even know if he's Irish.
No, that's not the way we normally do it, my folk.
Yeah. Well, that's not what I was talking about anyway. I don't want to get into that ethnic kind of stuff anyhow. You're getting into dangerous territory, and Tony Cincata's not around here to spin it. Denard Span owning 12% of CBSSport.com leagues. And Span's off to a pretty good start in terms of driving runs. In the Rays' first 17 games, he's driven in 17 runs. And we haven't even seen much speed from him. But if you need an outfield plugger, would you pick up Denard Span?
Tough to rely on RBIs. I mean, if you're claiming a guy just for RBIs, a lot of people tell you that's a more product of the team. People getting on base in front of him. And I would have to agree to a point here. But he is driving in runs. It's a weird stat, Scott. Because even in his heyday, he never really drove in a whole bunch of runs. The fact that he's got 17 games is just one of those weird little stats when you peruse through everything in baseball and you see what's going on here. I like him better than the players you've mentioned so far. What I've always... When you see his swing, Scott, I've watched Span a decent bunch. He's the kind of guy where the pitch will be thrown, and I sort of take my eye off because he's not swinging. All of a sudden, he does. He swings so late. You know, I always thought he didn't have more success because just the way, like I said, it's strange when I see him. He seems like he can wait a long time to see what the pitch is going to do before he swings. And that's always caught my eye with Denard Span, that late swing.
Yeah, he's got a .348 on base percentage. He's always been a guy who knows how to get on base. So, yeah, Span is, if you play in an OBP league, he's certainly not going to hurt you. Now, he's 34 years old, and in baseball years, that's a gray beard. And if you look at his most recent headshot,
he's got a gray beard.
The Tampa Bay beard Rays, he does have gray in his beard.
It's funny. I think I might not have a beard in that case. One of the reasons why I keep my hair so short is because it is gray in it. If I let it grow out. So I keep it shorter. That's one of the reasons. For that reason, so I'm surprised that a baseball player on TV all the time, interviews would do that. Good for him for, I guess, not being as vain as some of us.
Maybe he wants to be seen as this grizzled veteran, this seasoned veteran that needs to be respected around the clubhouse.
He's only 34, though, man. That picture, I think
that's old in baseball years, right?
But it makes him look older. It looks like he's 45, 50.
Maybe he wants to project that.
Maybe he does. Maybe he does want to be that clubhouse presence, the god of the clubhouse. But he does look older. I'm just checking his age here. I'm like, is he like 38, 39? No, he's just 34.
Yeah. That's not old for a quarterback necessarily.
Certainly not old for Tom Brady.
No. Or Brett Favre for that matter either. What about Mark Canha? Only owned its 3% of CBSSports.com leagues. Playing some center field, which I thought was weird, but hitting .333 with 2 home runs and 7 RBIs. We've seen him be serviceable for stretches.
Yeah, I was asked a question earlier this week on Canha, either on my Twitter or in our the Roto Expert Slack .com. About him, and I think my problem with him is this. I think the power is legit. He'll hit while he's playing in lineup, he'll hit, but you said he's playing center. And really, Book, Powell, Jr., or Fowler should have that job. So I think it's just a matter of time until they do get called up. One of them gets called up and takes that job for him. So this is someone you can enjoy because he's, once again, not a top prospect. He's 29, been around for a few years. He'll hit while he's there. He'll do some damage power-wise. The average could hurt you. Right now, it's not. But eventually, one of those other two is taking that job, and then he goes away.
You say Boog Powell Jr.? Is he really Jr.?
I don't know.
See, he's not related to the old Baltimore Orioles, Boog Powell. I looked that up, if that's what you're thinking.
That is what I was thinking, actually. There's another, yeah. I guess maybe
they're not related.
Were mom and dad a fan of the old guy? Did you see Boog Powell play?
When I was a very, very little kid, I probably did, but I don't have any memories of it.
I think I have some of what type of player he was. I remember the player. But I'm surprised he doesn't.
I didn't
have
go to Marion American League ball games when I was a little kid. I went to Yankee Stadium in 1973 and saw Brian Downing homer against the Yankees.
Is that your first memory of a game?
Of an American League game.
What's your first memory of a real game? National League game, any game.
Oh boy! Point to my first game in '68. My first memory is probably from '71.
Nice.
I would say.
Yeah, at Shea Stadium. All right, we'll talk more waiver pickups coming up next.